This is the 11th of October, 1981, Taos, New Mexico, and we're having a session with Bartholomew. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about the bodies that have been brought up from time to time.
The lies about the bodies.
Yes. The 4th and 5th and 6th and 7th in particular. And I realize that I've had this idea for many, many years, which I've never really thought about, that one just gradually expands and gets a little wiser, moves a little bit into this body and then into the next body, and gradually becomes infinite. And this is nonsense, you know. The finite and the infinite mix like oil and water. And yet I've had this idea all along that I'll just, you know, tiptoe into infinity, one step at a time, and then the next step I'll be infinite.
And your question?
Is, would you comment upon this?
All right. The difficulty in answering any question like this is that, first of all, let us understand, those of you who do not know, I will tell you, everything I am saying is a lie, because no words will ever tell you anything about what we're trying to reach for. All right, so with that as our groundwork, that these are words that are lies in the sense that they do not carry at all the power and the understanding that we're looking for. Understanding this, let me then try to answer this question. The reason that it appears to you that consciousness continues to expand and expand and expand, and that you get wiser and wiser and wiser, is because when you are relating to, identifying with, and paying attention to the earth plane, the material world, the emotional field, the mental understanding, it seems to you that you move through a linear world. You move from one event to another, to another. There is pain, then there is no pain. There is suffering, then there is no suffering. There is crying, and then there is no crying. All of these things. It seems very much to you that this is what's happening. Now, when you drop the idea that you are going to be able to perceive things with your mind and with your senses, then you are going to ask yourself the question, if my senses are blind and do not really record for me, and if all of this other vastness is available, then what am I going to use as my way of moving or understanding it? Now, we go back to the basic premise. You are not your mind, and you are not your body. Mind is there, body is there, emotions are there, I grant you all of that. But what you keep forgetting is that you are so much more. You, yourself, you, your very experience is so much more than your recording. It is almost as if you were all of the stations on this, at one time, on this apparatus, radio. All of them, all of these television, you're all of the stations, but you are always on the television on channel, what is the number?
Five.
All the time on channel 5. All right. Now, all these other channels are playing all the time. But whether you are recording on them and paying attention, 6, 2, 1, whatever, they're all running. They're all having marvelous shows and marvelous, games and so forth. Everything's going on. But you are only looking at one. Right. So you say, there is only one, here it is, I see it, I don't see anything else, therefore they're not existing. And I say, no, no, no. All of those other channels, they don't wait for you to turn them on to go on, do they? Do you think that you, think about this television, you walk up and you turn this dial and then a picture comes. Do you think, no, do you think that you're turning the dial makes that picture happen? You know that's not true. Your rational mind knows that those channels are going on all the time, whether you tune in or not. Whether your television is blank, television is happening. But when you understand that about the material plane, you do not understand that about your inner planes, which is that all those channels are happening now, all of the time. Your vast self, your cosmic body, if you want to put it that way, it is going along having wonderful experiences. Your spiritual body is joining with other floods of power and understanding and is moving on its own way. Your nirvanic body, so to speak, is constantly in tune with the source is abundantly or surrounded by it. All of this is going on all the time. But because you have turned to channel five, which happens to be body, emotions, mind, you don't hear the channel. Do you understand? It isn't that you have to expand. The channels are going on all of the time. If you could change the way you think, if they could change the way you approach your life, your day, then you would know all of the time, turn the dial and another channel. But the secret is this, and this is the hardest thing to convince you of. You can have all the channels on and you can be tuning into all of them all of the time. It is not a selection. You do not have to say, as you do on the television, well, if I'm attuned to five, I cannot watch seven. Or if I'm attuned to two, I cannot watch one, whatever it might be. That isn't the way of it. The wonder of this particular physical television set that you're carrying around with you all the time is that it can be aware of and working through and understanding all of those channels all at once. All at once. Because what you don't understand, and I cannot find the words to make it clear, what you do not understand is that all of those channels that seem to you to be so different, so multi-faced, so unrelated, are all related. And you, because you are the television set that they move through, has something, a part of each one of these channels. Each one says something to you. So, right now, misery is there. Difficulty is there. Anguish, pain. At the same time, and this is what you cannot understand, is another channel playing beauty, peace, harmony, expansion, compassion, joy, and understanding. At the same time, another channel. And when you become locked into one channel, and this is why in the last, even being locked into the spiritual channel will not do it. Do you understand why? Because even the spiritual channel is one channel, is it not? And you cannot go all the way to the vastness through channel seven or five or two. It has to be all of them. And so the more you drop this, what is it called? This model, is that the appropriate word? Whatever. This model of the world as being one channel only, you're going to begin to allow yourself to continue to feel the pain and anguish of the moment. That's there. That's one channel. That's the drama on channel two, all right? At the same time, on channel five, something totally different is happening. Totally wonderful, and you can feel both. Now, why do you not? Because from the time you were this large, people say, that's nonsense. If you can't see it, it's not real. We don't, please, let's not talk about that trash. And the more you expand out of the world, out into those other channels, which you come in doing, you become disoriented in your world, do you not? I mean, do you think your parents really would understand if you started talking about what was going on in your past life, which you still have contact with when you're born? You know, there are many births and many lives, and they're all here. It isn't as if you drop one and pick up another one. They're all here. You are the totality of your experience. And all of the wealth of the understanding from all of those dramas are still there. They're still there. And all you need to do is to say, all right, I accept that. Fine, I can handle this problem. I know I can. Why? Because karmically, I have gone through it infinitely. This is not the first time I have felt this anguish or this pain or this rejection or this misunderstanding or this physical difficulty. I have lifetimes and lifetimes behind me. But at the same time, I have lifetimes of courage, of capability over difficulty, of infinite understanding through the spiritual world. Many of you have already, in past lives, touched the seventh body. It is all there. Why then are you still here? Because it has to be all seven channels. Do you see? It's got to be all of them. It cannot be one. It has to be all. You cannot get free by just looking at one channel. You cannot. because you are the totality of the receiving set. And you have to know that with power and understanding. So this idea of the ladder would assume that you start with channel 1 and progress up to channel 7. That they come in some kind of increments, would it not? But this is not at all the way it is. They're all playing, and you flood between them all of the time. And when you begin to, what shall I say, tune into these other channels at the same time that you're living this one, you're going to begin to feel courageous. You're going to begin to feel spiritual. You're going to begin to feel wise and capable and total. You're going to begin to feel like that. And it is my perception of the human that is exactly what they're looking for. There is no infinite. The word, truly, on my side, doesn't compute. I mean, I don't know quite what you mean by that. But whatever that idea might be, I understand this idea that now you are limited and then one moment you're going to be limitless. Now, how do you expand so all channels are being received at one time? You are going to scream and run from the building because it is the same thing that I have said, and you're going to say, how many times do you have to say the same thing? But there's only one way that I see from my perception to clarify, and that is, if you could envision a center point and you standing in the middle, and all around is a kaleidoscope of ever-moving pictures, which are all of your lifetimes, all of your bodies, all of your understandings moving around. You are standing still. Please envision this if you can. You are standing still, and the pictures move around you. Now, as you stand there and the pictures move around you, you suddenly realize that just as the pictures move, you, as the human, please follow, have the capability of moving too. So that you can, with one turn, see the whole scene. All you have to do is to open your eyes and start moving and turn. And you will then find yourself, not only are the pictures going around, all of your bodies, all of your past karmas and all of this business, but you too are moving so that at any time you can turn your awareness and be in a different state of understanding. And it can go on constantly. Now, when you stand in the center and realize that you are indeed the center of your own created universe, there comes a desire within you to understand other parts of that universe that you haven't touched on for lifetimes. And when you make that decision, you begin to intuit within yourself that it is indeed true that if you could close your eyes to the most obvious channel, which is this one, is it not? Calm down the other two channels, which are always agitating, which is emotion and mind. Those three are so familiar to you that you think you are them. That's who you think you are, because they're always under your nose, aren't they? You're always seeing yourself as a human being with emotions and thoughts because it's always under your nose. Yes, I agree. And that is there. And do not reject that. It is real. But at the same time, all of this other wonder, all of the passing created power of all of your other so-called parts, which are only lies again, are going on all of the time. So through the silencing of the familiar, you allow, I repeat, through the silencing of the familiar, you allow the unfamiliar to become familiar. And it isn't hard. It just means shut up, sit down, and let it happen to you. You cannot make it happen. You cannot make it happen. You can allow it to happen. You can allow it to happen, and that is your choice. Those of you who decide that life is not worth living unless A, B, or C takes place in it, I would like to give you some hope which is that whatever fantasy you have created is there in your consciousness. And the power and the understanding and the joy and the fulfillment is there. And you say, it doesn't do any good if it's not manifesting in this world right under my nose. I reject it. And I say, I don't think so. I think that is your ignorance. Excuse the word. What's more tactful? I can't. All right, let it go. It is your ignorance. Your misperception, perhaps, would be more tactful. It simply means that you have decided that you are one person living a linear amount of lives, and that if it's not under your nose and you're not happy now, then there's no hope. But the fact remains that what you're really looking for is the power and the energy of compassion, of love, of caring, of support. And it is within your karmic bank account, if you want to put it that way. And it is there, and it can be drawn on at any time. If you are addicted to having everything happen under your nose, can you think of what your life would be? If you want to have everything happening under your nose, your life is going to be total chaos. You make selections. And you decide, I will not be happy unless I have this happen to me. Boom. I have to have a job that I care about. I have to have a lot of money. I have to have a lot of lovers. I have to have a lot of children. I have to have a lot, whatever. You make up your mind. Without this, I am not happy. All around you is happy. All around you is other happy. But because you are so addicted to one kind of happy, you cannot see the other kind of happy. And therefore, you are unhappy. And the entire world could say, we support you, we love you, we care about you. And if one person in your environment does not say, I love you, you're miserable. One person. Is this sensible? Not to me, it is to you. Because the game is played this way. If I do not have this one person for my own, like a statue right here, in front of me, if it isn't working out like I want, then I'm unhappy. Then you go around manipulating other people to fit your happy. But that's one way to do it. I would suggest another way, which is to deeply get in yourself and find out, is what you want really the statue, or is it really what you want, the feelings, the compassion, the caring, the wonder of your caring for others? Don't trap yourself in your relationships, because what you're really looking for 99% of the time is not someone to love you, but allowing yourself to love someone, or just to love. And that doesn't take a statue. No one in this room has gone through all of the cycles of birth, rebirth, without having had lifetimes of compassion and caring and support and understanding. It is all there. Take it or leave it. You sit and pute and whine and say, I am miserable, I am miserable. And all around you is all that you're already looking for. But because you have decided that it has to come in a certain way, you're miserable. I'm asking you to seriously see yourself as much vaster than one life, moving linearly through time-space. I'm asking you to know that within you, around you, and surrounding you at all times is whatever is necessary for your well-being. I don't care what it is. You tell me that you are dying of a brain tumor or of what are all these horribles, all these cancers and all these things, and I say, yes, I see that. And around you at the same time, I see humor, acceptance, equanimity, courage, tolerance, all of this. If you could stop seeing yourself as so little and so puny and so needy, then you could start opening up to all of the things that are all there. And then you don't have to have that experience of yourself anymore. Now, human beings are afraid of this. And it comes from another misunderstanding. The misunderstanding is that if you do not decide with your will that I want this relationship, I want a relationship with a person, I want money, I want power, I want. If you don't push your will against that and yell out into the universe that you want it, that you're not going to get it. So you have to all the time keep saying, I want it, I have to have it, scream and yell and pound your heels and hope that somebody in your universe will start piling it on you. Either money or power or prestige or relationships or love or compassion, I don't care what. And you can scream like little kids and please, somebody help. All right, fine. And then maybe somebody comes along and takes care of you, kisses you, loves you, takes you, pats you on the head, gives you some money, sends you on your way, all this. And then 2 years later, a whole new thing. Down on the floor again, banging the feet, crying and screaming, I want something different. I changed my mind. Now I want something different. Okay, on and on you go, kicking and screaming through life, waiting for other people. Other people to come along and stick the bottle in your mouth and the nipple and suck, 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 because you aren't going to get up and do it. You see, it's the wrong image of yourselves because it's not going to win. People in their 80s are still laying on the floor, kicking, screaming. You know, it goes all the way through. Now, why is this so? I think it is because there is a basic idea in you that you cannot somehow, without asking from the outside, having something happen to you in your life, that you cannot feel that wonderful thing within yourself that you're looking for. You have bought the game, that it's out there. You have bought it, that other people give it to you, that happiness is something somebody gives to you. You have really bought that game. And it is simply not true. And you check me out on your reality, all of you in this room. You tell me at times when other people are loving and adoring you. If you are not loving and adoring them, are you happy? They can love you as much as they can, but if you are not loving them, is there happiness there? Answer me, is there? Is it their loving you that makes you happy, or is it you loving them? Over and over again, the world shows you that it is your feeling toward other, it is your feeling toward self that makes the difference, not what other people do to you. And how can you get that? You don't have to get it because you've got it. You've got it. You don't have to go out and buy it. You don't have to wait for someone to give it to you. You have it. It is who you are, the accumulated understanding of lifetimes and lifetimes of courage and power and love and compassion, and it's there. And let me tell you a secret. When you start manifesting that from you, that all of your fantasies will start happening. All of those people that you wanted to love you, they'll start loving you. But you can't do it for that. But that's what happens. But it's the power in you that comes out and says, no, my responsibility to make me happy. It is not the world that makes me happy. I make myself happy. Without that kind of power within yourself, you will never be total. How can you be total? And it's not hard. Again and again, we have to come back to the simplest statement. It is not hard. It is simply, I'm begging you today, please try to change your view of what you are. Please try to see yourself as the whole window. Not just one strand, not just one petal, not just one facet, but the whole totality of power. Why not? Why not? And out of that kind of view of yourself, instead of waiting for the world to feed you, then you say, oh, I don't need to. I can feed the world. Not as some arrogant do-gooder, but just because of what I am and because I am so secure in my own knowingness of who I am, they are also the same. And so I can feed the world in any way. And then you have what I call a divine do-gooder. There is such a thing. This has puzzled you for a long time, Mr. Moore. The question of the divine do-gooder. Is there a place in the world for do-gooding? You know, I am awfully down on do-gooding. You all understand. But the only kind of do-gooding that I'm really against is the kind that is using its do-gooding in order to make itself feel important, better than, you know, poor souls, let me take care of them. Because, you know, after all, I have all this to give, and let me give it. And I shall give it with such love and compassion. I will just cram it down their throat, and they will love it. And out of this kind of sense of who you are and how you're doing and what you're doing, the other person shrinks back in horror. Here comes the do-gooder, you know, and they're within themselves, something is lost. All right, now, is there a divine do-gooder? Yes. And what would it be? A divine do-gooder is one who acts spontaneously and appropriately in the moment, in whatever way is appropriate, and walks on. And never turns around to say, did they notice? Did it work? Was it good? Did it work out all right? They just don't care, do they? They do it. You do it because it's there to do, and you do it totally, not because you want to, but because you do it. It is the meeting of your understanding and the understanding of the moment, and the totality says, this is what you do. This is appropriate, and you do it. You don't praise yourself for eating breakfast every morning. You don't go around saying, what a good person I was. I ate breakfast this morning. It's wonderful. What a good person. You just eat breakfast. And in the same way, everything that you do when you are in the divine space of totality is you simply act. Somebody says something, you react. Fine. This is what you do. This is what you do here and there. And you just move through your world like that. And there's no sense of I doing for other. There's only action. Action. No question about, does it work? What does that mean? Does it work? Does breakfast work? I mean, what is that? You do it. It's something you do. You eat breakfast. You don't stop all day. Is it working? Is it working? Is it making? Where is it? Is it helping me? Am I healthier? What's going on? You don't even ask. You just move. And such as it has to be. Now, is it impossible? No. It's simple. It's simple. It's simple. It is based on one thing. That kind of person that moves through their world like that has one basic concept about themselves, which is that there's nothing that they need that they do not have. That whatever they need, they can pull out of the vastness of their own understanding and make it active in this world, in action, now. If you're afraid, there is courage. If you're lonely, there is companionship. If you're in pain, there's health. It's always there. It is always. It is your mind that says it is not there, that makes you put all of your awareness on your loneliness, on your pain, on your loss, on your lack. You have sold yourselves short. You are not the limited beings that you think you are. You have infinite resources, mental, spiritual, cosmic, nirvanic, emotional. Everything is all there. And you either pull it in gratitude and acceptance, or you ignore it. You know the old story about the king of the castle, the king of the kingdom, and he's the beggar in the dungeon of his own castle, and they keep saying, don't you know that you're in charge here? He says, of course I'm not in charge here. Look at me. I'm sitting in this hole. I don't have anything. Other people have to feed me. I don't have any money. I'm in rags. I haven't got anything. They said, but you're the king. All you have to do is walk out of here and start moving around and you'll be the king. No. He sits at his gate. It's what you do all the time. Dungeons. Little dungeons. Just like the prisoner king, waiting for someone to stick a bit of morsel of food. Oh, you want a little love? Here. Here, I'll stick it through the door. Oh, you want a little little power, or his little. All right, you want a little bit of material possession? All right, I'll give you this. You know, sticking it through the hole in the dungeon door, that isn't what the createdness had in mind. You have created infinite things around you. For heaven's sakes, make use of your infinite creation. Please, make use of it. It's taken you lifetimes to build this bank account. It's as if you'd forgotten this incredible bank account sitting where? Somewhere in what's that township? Albuquerque. And you're sitting here in a dump without any plumbing, without any water, and without any whatever, and no money, and no job, and no friends, and all of the time there's all of this bank account, and you've forgotten it. I'm here to remind you about your bank account. There is nothing that you face ever that does not have a corollary of help in your bank account. It doesn't exist because you have gone through every experience known to man. Don't you understand? This is just a rerun. This life is just a rerun of life after life after life. Certain things change. Yes, you look different, all the, but it's all the same. It's a rerun, infinite rerun. The bank account is there. And you don't have to have a passbook. And you don't have to have a key. And you don't have to have any of that. All you have to do is change your idea of your limited self. All right? Practically, what am I saying? That's what I'm saying. Practically, I'm saying do it. Don't ask me for a trick. Don't ask me for a gimmick. Do it. Stop pretending. Start accepting. Start saying, you know, I really have a feeling that I don't have to feel this miserable. I really have a feeling that I don't have to feel this miserable. I could feel better. I really could feel better. And then just seeing if you can't feel better. Each time it comes up saying, you know, I have a feeling, you know, that old windbag is always saying this. Maybe we'll try it this time. Maybe this time we'll put the old windbag to test. Maybe there's more around here. Maybe when I'm in the midst of my stress and strain and anguish and so forth, maybe there's something on the periphery that I could kind of relax into. And you know, something that works, it would work if you wanted to try it. Some of you will try this, others won't. I'll just throw it out. Because you have access to all of these past lives, because they are around you, you know, they're not down the road and you're here, you know, they're all here surrounding you. Let us say that you're in anguish over, what shall we say, a love affair. And you're feeling alone and a lack and so forth. Now, if you just to sit quietly and take your mind, which is the hard part, your mind and your attention off of your pain, and would just fantasize for a moment. Can you follow me? Just put yourself imagining into a situation, not with that particular person, maybe, or maybe if you want to, but probably not, with another person, and just see if you can't fantasize a feeling of a time when you did have what you're looking for, when you did feel all of those things. And you know, some of you would even be able to bring in the pictures of those past lives that had that power in them. And with bringing them into your aura comes the peace, comes the remembrance, comes the knowing, comes the letting go. Now, some of you would find this ridiculous, and of course, I don't suggest that you do it. Others of you might find it helpful. In moments of extremity, there is always a past life. There is always an occurrence that will take and will make you know that what you're seeking is already there. Those of you who are so anguished about your spiritual development, just relax into a vision, perhaps, of another time. When you didn't have so much on your plate that I don't see any exceptions. Right. All right. Everyone in this room has had... All right. Everyone in this room has had an incarnation, in fact, perhaps many, of deep renunciation, of deep being a nun, being a monk, being I can't remember all of your words, whatever, all of those things. And out of those lifetimes of total devotion to the One has come a deep feeling of that spiritual unfoldment. And now you come in with a lifetime that says, all right, that's all around me, it's important and it's here, but this time there's another job to be done. Because you are in the world, be very aware that there's a reason for you being in the world. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. There are many, many renunciates in the world. Are you aware of that? Many of them. So why are you here? Because this is the job. This is what needs to be done. So draw on it. All of that power, all of that wisdom, all of that peace, all of that knowing that that is an achieved and an alive power is there. So don't beat yourselves. You know, you beat yourselves all the time. You beat yourselves constantly for what you are not. Just do the job as it presents itself to do. Do the best you know how and let it go. And just let it go. Just do what you have to do and let it go. Because all of the rest, you can't possibly live all those lifetimes at once. Can you really work as head of the pool in the Taos community and be a nun at the same time? It would be very difficult. Do what you're doing totally, fully, completely, utterly. Totally. And all of the rest is there. You don't trust yourselves. You don't believe in yourselves. You don't know yourselves. If you knew yourselves, you would know all of your faces. You would know all of your strengths. You would know it all. Does that answer the question?
Yes, I'll just throw out one little thing here. I don't know if we want to pursue it, but my own conclusion was that, like the Christian Scientist in Hell, I'm not here now. I decided that, well, maybe, you know, if the infinite and the finite don't mix, maybe I'm not here.
All right. You see, in a sense, that is absolutely true. But in another sense, it certainly seems that you're here. I think the real answer to the dilemma, my friend, is to just start accepting that the model that we have presented of the ladder is false, that the mystery of your evolution and your movement and your expansion, whatever you want to call it, comes in letting go of that idea, of not trying to beat yourself up further rungs of the ladder, of simply allowing and accepting, and then seeing what happens. You know, the wonderful thing is, eventually you'll understand it totally. Eventually you'll know it all. Eventually you will allow yourselves to know it all. It's all there. You will allow yourselves to know it all. But that takes courage, because as you start to move, as you allow that energy, as all that power starts to come in and change your life, and things start really moving for you, and you start moving to that, those feelings of power, uprises all of the fear, which is, oh my God, if I'm powerful, then I will be responsible, then, and then away we go, and then infinite choices. But that's all right. The only thing I see as the answer is to just stay awake. When you feel these promptings of the differences between finite and infinite, accept that. There's a mystery here. You don't really understand it. Don't believe everything, you know, those books tell you, and don't believe everything I tell you. I don't want anybody believing. There's only one thing I want, and that's experiencing. Belief is an idea. Experience is action. Experience changes, transmutes, and does all things. And that's what you've got to do, is experience. And how do you experience? You just do it. It is what you do. It is what you are. It's accumulated experience. Just allow. Let down the blinders. Feel. Be alive to it. It's all there. It goes around you all the time. All of the time. There's nothing you need. If you want to be miserable, go right ahead. It's really all right. And some of you choose to be miserable because you have this wonderful model that says, if I am not miserable, I'm not growing spiritually. Wonderful? That's one of the oldest ones going. That's fine. If that works for you, do it. But I'm suggesting to you, those of you who are tired of misery, that there's another way. Are there other questions? Everything I have said to you is utterly useless. And you would have been better to stay in bed and slept this morning, or to have gone to the local breakfast place and stuffed yourself. If what I have said does not prompt you to one thing, and one thing only, which is to reassess who you are, to really see if it is not possible that I am right. My job is to prattle, and your job is to assess. And the assessing comes by the trying of it. The next time, in the next moment, when misery or doubt or confusion or pain or anguish or anger or I don't care what it is, remorse, guilt, I mean the infinite number in the bag that comes out to you, in that moment can you say, all right, let's test this idea that flew around this morning. Is it not possible for me to pull into me a different feeling entirely? Is it not possible for me to just pull in something that will transform this into a bolder, larger, vaster moment? I'm not asking you to escape anything. I'm just saying use all of the tools available and just make the moment bolder and vaster, stronger, more powerful. Why not? You go with blinders down the same roads again and again and again. Your mind tells you to make changes. Your environment tells you to make changes, and you make no changes. You just go down the same road. Waiting for some future date when somebody's going to stick a bottle in your mouth and take care of you. No. That depends on other people. Do you want to live your life waiting for other people to stick bottles in your mouth? They're very unpredictable people, you know. They might be busy doing something else. They might totally forget to stick that bottle in your mouth the rest of your life, waiting for somebody to stick a bottle in your mouth. That isn't the way a dynamic life is lived. And some of you encourage each other to be that way. Some of you encourage people in your lives to be dependent on you, to you to be the one that sticks the bottle in the mouth. This is fear. No. No, no. Do not encourage others to wait for you to stick the bottle in, and don't you wait around for others. You be responsible for the quality of your day. You be responsible for the quality of your consciousness, and nothing that you want is lacking. You want spiritual insight? It's there. You want emotional clarity? It's there. You want mental balance? It's there. It is there. All you have to do is to pull it in. Just pull it in. And it isn't hard. It requires a totally different view of who you are. You are not a little worm walking hard, struggling up the face of a mountain. That is not what you are. Books have been written that said you're gods. What does this mean? That means that you have the power of the createdness. You have the courage, you have the ability, you have the wisdom, you have the spiritual understanding, you have it all. And you're acting like you had nothing. That somebody else has to come and take care of poor little you? No. That's not what the Creator had in mind, and that's not what you ought to accept. That is second rate. The power is there, claim it or not. The understanding is there. Claim it or not. The compassion is there, claim it or not. But don't fool yourselves. Don't pretend that you have to wait for somebody with a bottle, because it's not true. It cannot be true. That would make you worms in the true sense of waiting. It's totally subjected to the whims of the universe, and that is not what you are. That is not what you are. And don't settle for it. So.
And with that growth that you go into, when that happens, it hurts and upsets other people.
Of course.
It to keep that from affecting you because you must go on with it, is there some way you can gently help them to understand that?
The only thing I see, when one person is ready to outride and the other wants to stay with the herd, which is the way I look at it, and when the outrider is choosing to go, they usually have a choice. They turn back to the companion and say, I'm going out. You know, I love you. I'd like to take you with me. I'd like to have you take me with you. I'd like us to go together. I'd really like this. It's not up for question whether I'm going or not, but I would really like you to join me. And the other person has then the option of saying, thank you, the herd seems safer. I'm not ready. I haven't got enough provisions. I don't feel right about it. And then that person stays behind, and you go. But you don't go screaming and yelling. And the worst of that kind of situation is when you go to the companion and the partner and you say, well, I'm going. And they say, well, I can't go. And then you get angry at them because they won't go. You see, this happens too. Resentment. Well, why not? I'm going the right way. You know that. I mean, it's always best to be the outrider. Totally ignoring the fact that maybe that person staying exactly where they are is absolutely maximum for them. That if they followed you in the outrider position, they might indeed go over the edge and become unbalanced. It's not our place to judge. We simply do what we have to do. We never look back and say, you have to come with me. Or if you don't, you're a nincompoop. You know, none of this. You simply say, I'm going. I know it hurts you. I know you're going to miss me. I know that I'm moving into new ground. But I'm going. And out of that kind, if you're really moving into the outreach, if you're really moving out there, one of the characteristics is compassion, because you're suffering yourself and you know. And out of that quality comes compassion for the other person. And never do you look down, never. It's not there. It's just, I understand it's hard for you, but unfortunately, I have no choice. And that kind of inner dedication, if done with compassion, with balance, it makes itself known. But that strident, well, I'm going, and, you know, come if you want, and, you know, if you're strong enough to come with me, well, you come on, but if not, you know, you poor schmuck, you can just stay. You know, that kind of thing, that goes across too. So it's really up to you. Again, I say, again and again, in lifetime after lifetime, all of you have been outriders, and all of you have stayed with the pack. Make no mistake. Make no mistake. There are no goody-goodies in this bunch. You have done both. Sometimes you're the outrider, and sometimes you're the stay-at-home. All right? So, both responses are there. And understanding is there. All you can do is be as clear about yourself as you are, and the other person must be responsible for their own response. You cannot say, I will do this only if it meets the approval of everyone in my universe. Do you understand that? If that is your criteria for moving out, you will never move out. You simply have to say, I'm going. How then best to take care of the chaos that's bound to be there? And if you look with compassionate heart and compassionate eyes, you will see. The words will come. You will know. Because you have done it again and again. This is not the first time. And those of you that are left behind, this is not the first time. You know what's required of you. It's to let them go. To say, all right, I'm too chicken right now. You go ahead. I'll stay here another year. You go on. Go on. I'm on your side. You know what's required of you on both sides. On both sides. Every altercation you have in your life, you know what's required on both sides. On the person who is receiving it and on the person that's giving it. You know what's required. Because infinitely you have been on both sides. It's not a mystery. The problem is you don't want to do what's required. You want what you want. And you want it now. Now. Give it to me now. Like I want it, in the same color I want it, in the same size I want it, and I want it right here, and I want this ribbon on it, and I want it now. If you don't give it to me, you don't love me. If you don't give it to me, you're not my friend. If you don't give it to me, you don't like me. All these rules, nonsense. Absolute nonsense. You know what you have to do. And you know that the other person has to do what they can do, as best as they can do it. And that's all we can say. So, yes?
Is it a true statement then to say that there cannot be any accepting from within when there's expecting from without? In identity, does it seem to...
For some reason, I'm not. Could you rephrase it for me, my friend?
Well, the acceptance of the power in the self and the other channels cannot come when there's expecting from the one channel that we're on.
Oh, I see your point. Well, now look, if you have decided that one channel is going to have your attention, expectation means that's where your awareness is. If you're expecting something from somebody, where's your awareness? You're watching all the time. Is it coming? Is it coming? Is what I'm expecting coming down the road? Are they loving and adoring me today like I want them to? Is my world beautiful and heavenly? Is everybody in my life happy and loving? I mean, you're always watching, watching, watching. You're watching all the time, watching. That's what television's all about, isn't it? Watching so that you're so absorbed in that story that you've lost every other contact. I think television is a wonderful symbol for mankind today. Marvelous. Because that's all you do. You become glued. Is that not the terminology? You become glued to this channel, and all of a sudden you're empathizing, you're living. All right. All of the time you're watching what's going on. All life is going on. Let's say the man's watching the ball game. All of life is going on. Children are yelling and screaming and wives and all this is going on. Phones ringing, doorbells ringing, showers running, gardens going on, and nothing. Just watching. Their whole world is just watching. That's it. That's it. And they go away happy. But somebody comes in and intervenes and says, telephone, dear. Terror, fury goes in because now two channels are going. There's this channel and then there's this telephone and I don't want to and I have to miss this if I'm over. Constantly going on. All right. The symbology is if you are so glued to one channel because of your expectations and watching to see if it's playing out the drama the way you want it to, you will never see the other channels. Is this your question? If you expect something from that channel, it means that your energy is interrelating with some end in mind. You're not viewing it. You're not viewing it. You're creating it. You're manipulating it. You're contriving it. You're trying to work it. And what I'm trying to say is the way to live with all channels open is to just be open and let life live you. All of those channels will live through you without your doing anything about it at all. Do you really think you're in charge of the television station in Los Angeles? Do you really think that you create those movies and put them on the screen? Do you really? No, of course you don't. But you're not creating these either. But that's another question. Perhaps another day. Do you understand? You're not creating these either.
Is it frightening to not understand when that type of thing happens?
I think changing and expanding from any channel is always frightening because it becomes different. You are stuck to one channel, not because you like what's being played on it, my friends, but because it's familiar. Do you really think you are enjoying this little drama that you've been tuned into? Do you really think it's all that much fun? The problem is that you are addicted to it because you know the roles, you know the people, you can move easily in it and you feel more secure in it. You start expanding to those other channels and things get very, very, in your words, spooky. Things become spooky. So what? So be a little bit spooky. No harm done.
Just accept.
Just move. Just be the outrider. Just move. So this has gone on too long. But I thank you all. I thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, my darling.